Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And assalamu alaikum, dear believers. Welcome to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Manira Habil, and our co-host will be joining us, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. Okay, we thank you for being here with us and this Tuesday evening, and inshallah, we'll get started with tonight's program. As always, we will open up with Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم Sirat al-Ladina ananta alayhim, ghayril maktubi alayhim walabdalin. Amen. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the world, most gracious, most merciful. Thee do we worship. Master of the Day of Judgment, thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor those who go astray. Amen. Okay, again, we thank you for being here with us this evening. I'm going to open up the mic for our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, and extend to her the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you and everyone in our listening audience?
Alhamdulillah. I am well, and I pray everyone else is well also. We have to count our blessing. There are people in a lot worse situations than we are, and there are people in better situations. So I accept my station in life, and I am grateful. Yeah. So, you know, our prayers and du'as go out to all of those who are suffering such a devastating loss, the fires in Maui that just went through the island. You know, it was apocalyptic when you look at it and see how fire just engulfs and takes everything in its path. So our du'as are with those families.
One of the worst. Yes, the worst in history so far.
So we never know what conditions we will be faced with on the morrow, the next day. We have these moments to make the best of them. So I pray Allah that we do just that. And if you were not with us last week, we embarked on a journey where we're looking at courtship and marriage and relationships from the male perspective. And I know that, of course, Sister Bina and I are not men, but we do appreciate Brother Muhammad calling in last week and making his points from a male perspective on the topics that we discussed. And we hope that that continues and that happens again this evening, because traditionally and historically, men don't talk about a lot of things that come to when it comes to thought processes about being men, and they'd rather take action and do things, you know. But looking at how we have been shaped in this society, we've been under such social constructions on so many different levels, especially as a people who have been oppressed in this society for hundreds of years. You know, the social constructs that we have gone through, we have really not taken the time to sit, analyze, look, and study them and see what effect they have had on us. So last week we embarked on a journey looking at this from the male perspective, and we chose a book by a male. His name is Dan. Dan Griffin. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And
no problem.
It's entitled A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved. And he's studied this for years. He did his master's thesis on this very topic. And he's looked at the struggle men go through trying to unlearn what they have been taught that is not really in the man's best interest. It's not in their best interest to be taught in the way that they have been taught, and it creates issues and problems in relationships with intimacy, with communication and expression, managing emotions. Young boys are taught that anger is acceptable. A good fight is acceptable. Being strong, don't be weak, don't cry. All these things are looked at as feminine tendencies. So last week we did talk about briefly the example of our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And he exemplified such a wide range of emotions, but also of rational thinking capabilities, kindness, generosity, strength, commanding an army, being a governor of Medina, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, marrying women, many at one time, being successful at it, gentle with children, kind with neighbors and those in his path, excellent businessman, a business model, but also very soft-hearted, not one to become angry. So Prophet Muhammad defies everything that men in our Western culture have been taught as far as being a man, where he's not fit into this box that men are put into in our society. You know, so we did look at that last week. Brother Muhammad called in, and he stated that how Imam Muhammad taught us that man means mine. And that was the beginning of our, one of the points of the beginning of our undoing what has been learned for men and boys in this society. Man means mine. Woman is the womb of mine. It gave us a different perspective, a different starting point. Not that a woman means woe unto man, but a woman is a womb. And everything that's taught in our Holy Quran about men being the protectors and maintainers, the caliphs, the custodians, you know, gives men a different sense of purpose than what's been adopted in Western culture. So those are some of the things we talked about last week and some of the issues that we looked at. And again, we thank Brother Muhammad for calling in. Suspina, did you want to make any remarks on last week's show?
Yeah, you covered it very well about the fact that how men are taught and how they're taught just in general from their parents. I mean, it's just in all types of innocent ways, the way we learn. And like you said, every way is learning. Just about anything that we experience is learning. So learning from whomever we come in contact with, if we're in sports, if they're in sports, they're learning from their coaches, they're learning from their teachers, if they're in school with them all day. We just learn from everybody that we're around, even though we don't know we're learning from them, like our family, other family members. It could be our sisters and brothers because of the different experiences that they have. Because, I mean, I used to wonder this whole thing about how did all of us come up in the same household, but we have so many different ideas and ways of doing things coming from the same parents. Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I know, it does have to do with the soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in us, but then also that it has so much to do with our experiences, who we come in contact with, those types of things. So, yeah, I mean, that was a big eye-opener to just talk about where these rules, so-called rules for men, come from, and how they've evolved. Yeah.
So some of the rules that were discussed in the book was boys we're taught, don't be weak, don't show emotion, don't ask for help, don't cry, and in essence, don't care about relationships in an indirect mm-hmm. way. Don't care about relationships in an indirect way. Two other things that were common in our neighborhoods, in our culture, on the street, as you will, was a saying, for men to sow your wild oats.
Mm-hmm.
Sow your wild oats. How destructive was that? You know, sowing your wild oats. Very destructive to the man, to the woman, and possibly any child that was born from someone sowing their wild oats. Counterproductive when it comes to community life, when it comes to establishing healthy, happy, lasting families and sound relationships. Okay. Another saying that was in our environment, and not as much anymore, but you hear it from time to time, and that is you hear men say, women, can't live with them, can't live without them. You know? So
that's funny. I say that.
You say that about men?
I think we say it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never started that coming from a man because I don't know. I don't know. I guess because I'm a woman, I never thought that I never had thought that they would say anything like that, since they seem to have such a variety, and that they're blessed to have even more than one in our religion. So it's like, why would they be complaining? Because they get the opportunity to have at least four wives. And even in the ones, even if the ones that aren't Muslim, you know, it's just that, I don't know, they have, it seems like, such a pick of women.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's
never
true.
Thought of that from a man's perspective.
Yeah, but that four wives turns into four responsibilities. And at some point, that responsibility can get overwhelming. Some of these things that we say in our culture, and every day, just sayings. Some of them have profound positive impact, and some of them can work against us and against our souls. It's something that we should examine, you know. So the answer in our religion to sowing your wild oats is Prophet Muhammad letting us know, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that to marry is his sunnah. To marry is his sunnah. And that those who are of his ummah, you know, should marry. It's not a choice. It's more so an obligation to marry. So there is no sowing of wild oats. There is responsibility and acceptance of responsibility and desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that corrects that saying of sowing your wild oats, in essence practicing on someone and playing someone's emotions just to relieve oneself. We find in our religion where we have answers to a lot of these so-called man rules, and we definitely have examples in our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, of a human being, a human mind, a human character that has such a wide expanse, a wide range of character traits that exemplified strength and kindness. Yeah. So man is just not defined in one small box, okay, one small box of being. So we're going to pick back up on this conversation this evening, and we are really encouraging our input from our brothers in the radio audience. Sister Bina and I are presenting this material, but we are not men. And whatever you can share that will help a young man, if you were to sit and talk with a young man, that would help him understand what is it to be a man in 2023? You know, what is it that needs to change in order for us to go forward? You know, we look forward to you sharing. So we're going to take our pause for the calls, and then when we come back, we'll pick up where we left off, inshallah, and get started with the next segment of our program. So please stick and stay. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. We'll be right back with you after these public service announcements.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. We're doing our part to try and help remake the world. May Allah help us and guide us as we embark on this journey. Okay, so we are reading this evening from a presentation, a book called A Man's Way Through Relationships. And this book is written for men by a man. So we thought that it'd be a very interesting presentation. And we are looking and hoping and praying for participation from the men in our radio audience to share their views on this material. So we're going to turn this back over to Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, and we thank her for being here with us this evening.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's my pleasure. Excuse me, I just want to say a disclaimer. I'm still reading from the audiobook, so I don't have the exact page number. I know we're halfway through chapter one of A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved. It doesn't go by page number on this. It just tells me that we're just 9% into the book. So if anyone does have the book, they could look halfway through the first chapter and they'll be able to find it. So we'll start with, I think we start at the man's rules have changed, have also changed. Did you put a marker in your place where we left off, Ms. Munira?
No, but 9% is going to be let me be very clear that rules are not necessarily bad.
Okay.
Well, just start from wherever you like to start.
I see where you are.
Okay.
I can start
we're
there,
both
right
using
there where
the
you
Kindle
fit.
Version.
Okay.
All right.
So it says, let me be very clear that rules are not necessarily bad. How the rules are taught to us, sometimes literally beaten into us, and how we respond to them can be problematic. Rigidly following the rules is unhealthy because there is no freedom. There is no choice. The rules at their extremes are toxic. They lead to disconnection, violence, homophobia, objectification of women, and extreme competition, as well as isolation, loneliness, self-hatred, and misery. Discover who you are despite the rules, and you cannot help but become the man you were meant to be. With self-aware practice, the rules become more relaxed and flexible. They feel less tight, constricting, closed. They feel less tight, constricting, closed, and more like loose-fitting, the comfortable garments. Mike said this about his. He said how it had changed his idea of who he was as a man. I like what I see when I look in the mirror. I have come to a level of self-acceptance I'm comfortable with. Many of the men and women I know who defend their behavior by saying, it's just who I am, are often lost in the rules because they are not aware of the water. These are the people who keep using old, out-of-date maps. It is easier to simply say men don't know how to communicate feelings and continue to be disconnected in their relationships than to take the risk of communicating feelings. That involves immense vulnerability for those of us who have been told all our lives that sharing feelings outside of anger is not manly. As Mike says, when I share my feelings, honest connection is possible. The converse also seems to be true. When we do not share our feelings or our inner lives, it is hard to truly connect with others. This is just one of the many ways that men are, that I feel here all the time, even now. Of course, the rules are not always specific and concrete. They can be a set of ideas that we react to or resist. For instance, all of my life I have felt more emotional and sensitive than most men and women. I have found this to be a common trait I share with a lot of men. The rules, however, dictate that men are not to show emotions other than anger, and that certain emotions such as fear, sadness, and hurt are signs of weakness. These emotions are associated with being feminine, which in the context of the quote-unquote man rules has negative connotations. May we feel, quote-unquote, less than. Maybe we feel less than. We may even spend a fair amount of time trying not to engage in certain rules that we consider unhealthy and even destructive, but doing so may affect how we feel about ourselves as men. However, if we're self-aware and allow ourselves to experience how becoming emotionally vulnerable can enhance the quality of our connections with others, through practice, we begin to have a better understanding of the man we want to be rather than one whose relationships are being suffocated by the rules. Implicit in many of the rules are a lot of don'ts. For example, if the rule is men have to be strong and understanding, an underlying message is, quote unquote, don't be weak. Which is the greater rule, that men have to be strong, or that men cannot be weak or show weakness of any kind? In other words, the negatives associated with many of the rules tend to be the stronger part of the message. These don'ts are important because at the heart of it, they are telling us as men what and who not to be. How much of your identity is built around what and who you are not? How much time do you spend not being somebody as opposed to being someone? Or more importantly, being who you are and who you want to become. Interestingly, if you look at the don'ts and get rid of the words don't, you get a list of rules that tend to be associated with a particular group of people. Let's look at some of them. You scratch out don't in front of each one of these. Be weak. Don't show emotion. Don't ask for help. Don't cry. Don't care about relationships. What group do we tend to identify these statements with? Women. Practically, from the moment we are born, men are raised with messages that conflict with those given to girls and women. We receive messages explicitly and implicitly that not only are certain behaviors against the rules, they are to be avoided because they are associated with the weaker sex. Now, consider that some of the same behaviors are exactly what we are expected to practice in our most intimate relationships. This is one of the phenomena that creates serious internal tension for men and conflict between men and women in relationships. You may be saying, but Dan, I don't live by a lot of these rules. Fair enough. But as a man, you are still frequently judged consistent with them. Chances are there is still a voice inside you, a model of a manly man that you have internalized with a tendency to judge you more harshly than you realize when you don't follow the rules. I know that this is the case for me, and I have been living and examine life with respect to my masculinity for a very long time. The man rules have also changed a lot in the past 2 decades. They have loosened up, allowing for what I refer to in my master's research as a relaxed masculinity. The armor I talked about earlier is less rigid. We have more flexibility and more room in which to move. I am convinced we are on the right path as we evolve as individual human beings and as a society. Unfortunately, I have also found that this relaxed masculinity can cause a great deal of confusion. In the 1940s and 50s and early 60s, the rules were pretty clear. Men and women knew exactly how to act and how to be in relationship with each other. Half a century later, there is much less clarity and certainty. Under what circumstances is it okay to show weakness? When is it acceptable and preferable to be vulnerable with our authentic emotions? Some men have learned the hard way that when they do not follow the rules, they are made fun of or rejected for not being manly enough, not only by men in their lives, but by women as well. Understandably, women can buy into the man rules as much as men do. They don't see the water either. The rules provide one very important experience for all men: safety. When I ask audiences what following the man rules offers men, they often say acceptance or sense of belonging. I would push them to look further underneath that. What does acceptance, a sense of belonging or being liked, give us? Safety. At the heart of the rules is an attempt to be safe in the world, to not only be validated as men, but to truly feel safe and fit in. Every young boy learns that when he follows the man rules, he is safer in that he is less likely to be made fun of, criticized, beaten up, and so on. The majority of us did not learn the rules in peaceful conditions. Maybe your home had a more enlightened approach to gender, but no boy escapes the brutality of the schoolyard. In fact, I would say that given how much the process of socialization cuts us off from core parts of our humanity, there is a degree of trauma experienced by every man. For some of us, the trauma is severe. To make matters worse, at the heart of any attempts we make to be intimate and truly known to others is a level of vulnerability that we may not be prepared for or have the ability to navigate. This experience can touch our trauma, triggering it constantly in our most intimate relationships. And when it happens, we have no idea what to do and end up sabotaging our relationships as a result. Finally, there is another nuance of the rules that affects some men differently than others that must not be ignored. The people I have had the honor to train and share this conversation with have helped me to see more of the water. When we think of criminals or drug dealers, whose face do we tend to see? When we think of illegal immigrants or people doing menial work, if they are even men, whose faces do we see? The point is that the man rules are not colorblind or classless. I will never know what it is like to walk down the street and have people fearing me simply because of the color of my skin, or make judgments about me and my intelligence, moral character, or basic humanity simply because of the color of my skin, or who I am drawn to love. The intensity and expression of the man rules also seem to be different in the suburbs where I grew up than they are in the inner city, the child protection system, or the juvenile and criminal justice systems. All men are not socialized equally. Through the process, something happens to us that changes how we express ourselves at the foundation of our identity, our gender. Many people can get confused about the difference between sex and gender, not to mention sexuality, covered later in this book. Our sex is a biological and physiological attribute based upon having specific genitalia and other key distinguishing factors. Even though there is much variation among human beings, even physiologically, gender, however, is a social construct. It varies according to so many things, and it's a fluid concept. What masculinity means in one country versus another can be very different. How we express our gender is malleable and often changes over time and even through the course of relationships. Many of us are unaware of what happens to our gender in recovery and personal growth because it occurs in the context of our recovery as part of a bigger process of learning and growth. That was certainly what I found when I interviewed men over 15 years ago for my master's research, as well as among the men I interviewed for A Man's Way Through the 12 Steps. When I asked how have your ideas of being a man changed, the number one answer was they haven't. I followed up with, you mean before you walked around hugging other men, asking for help, talking about your feelings? It was only when these changes were pointed out and they began to reflect on the question that they saw they were very different from the men they were before. The same thing happened when a number of men I interviewed for this book, men and women are essentially raised to be half human beings. Women are given one part and men the other. The breakdown could look like this. This is very small. Okay,
I can blow it up and read it if you want me to.
Yeah, that would help. It's really small.
Okay. So the feminine, there is a table up under the feminine, and it says emotional intelligence, retreat, isolation, internalization, collaboration, decentralized, process, intuition, relational, surrender, intimacy, and codependence. Under men, it has logical intelligence instead of emotional intelligence. Under masculine, aggression, externalization, control, hierarchy, analytical, rational, individual, conquest, performance, and independence. But I think I'm going to read this again, but I'm going to go across because it's creating a contrast. He said that men and women are half of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to intelligence, the women are have emotional intelligence, and the men have logical intelligence. And the socialization process is developing the intellect. Women do it with emotional intelligence, and men do it with logical intelligence. The second socialization process is response to trauma. Women retreat, suffer isolation, internalization. Men show aggression and externalization, like picking up folding chairs. Okay. Okay. The next socialization process is power. Women have collaboration and do it in a decentralized way. Men have control and hierarchy. And processing information, women process with intuition, and men are analytical, rational. Self-development is saying that women are relational, men are individual. Sex / love, women surrender and have intimacy. For men, it's a conquest and performance.
Oh, my God.
And relationships.
Sorry.
Yeah. Relationships, women, feminine aspect, codependence, independence. Okay. So that's what he's saying about our specific socialization processes from the feminine perspective to the masculine perspective.
And this is what he's come up with his research, correct?
Yes, that's what his research from the people that he researched. And so there may not have been many Muslims in his group But again, this may be how we have been socialized in Western society in general, without the influence, for those who don't have the influence of the Holy Quran and know the example of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, looking for ways to process life by what they see in society. So we can see how we work to the detriment of having good relationships without the correct information, without the correct information regarding the human intellect, regarding rational thinking, sense of purpose, and the responsibility that man has to the Creator, the debt that we owe to life, that we have to our Creator. Without that, with the absence of that, we can see how mankind can get lost. So does anyone else have any thoughts on this particular information that we've read? We do have a caller in the queue. So we're going to go to our caller at 334-419. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam, and thank you for this topic. You know, we have standards in the Quran that assist us during times of adversity and times of drastic social change. And we have models, what God calls instructing signs in Mother Nature. And there's certain standards of masculine and feminine. The gender establishment is establishment based upon nature in terms of our biology, and God tells us that men, their purpose, and he tells us what the purpose of woman is, and he tells us what the purpose in terms of the creation and the way that it's moving. So you see a lot of troubling language, what Imam Muhammad mm-hmm.
Take your time.
Language environment. See a very oppressive. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to help you out, that oppressive language environment. Yeah.
So, you know, and we see also that there is a mind that wants to challenge the established nature and history of the human being and the direction. There's a trajectory that everything God has created is moving. And we see a mindset that wants to challenge that, and what they call an empirical thinking that wants no boundaries, wants to experience and manipulate things according to their desires and wills. So I'll stop there. So we can see that we're being challenged, but I think the place of safety is calling to mind what the Creator has established, and that it is moving in a particular direction, and that there is, you know, God has what is called a sunnah, or a particular way that he has done things over eons of time. And similarly, the history of the human family has a pattern. And I think if we look at that, there is peace and fulfillment in that. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for your comment. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. So it's very, very interesting. And When we look at these social constructs and how, unfortunately, we can just be taught right out of our good senses, right out of our very nature, right out of our sane mind. We can just, you know, parents used to ask us, have you lost your mind? You know? And we can see that we can get lost just listening to these things and taking these things as natural as the way things should be instead of studying how we have been created. And not only that, how we have been manipulated, which is why it's such a wonderful lesson when we read our Holy Quran. Allah lets us know how Shaitan will attack us, the whispers, appealing to the vanity, coming at us through things that we covet, fear of loss, fear of being powerless, all of these fears, how Shaitan will come and whisper and attack us and get us out of the state of felicity that we were created in, get us out of that garden that paradise that we were in when we were operating within our very nature as Allah created us, as Allah created us in. But getting people to reconnect with that nature and that thinking is our task. Creating a model for people to see how it's done correctly is what we have to do. People will believe what they see. So this is something that really has to be modeled. So this is why we're here every week on courtship and marriage. It's all about courtship and marriage, so that we can have more information, become wiser, more knowledgeable, have better skill sets, so we can get it right and have a successful relationship that is peaceful, that is encouraging, that is positive, inshallah. Okay. Any comments for you, Bina?
No, ma'am. I'm agreeing with you 100%.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So, one moment. Click the wrong button here. Let me get back. We have another caller in the queue. We're going to go to 321-917. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, wa alaikum assalam. Peace and blessings to the listening audience, the Lacey Umar here, Melbourne, Florida. I was listening to the presentation, and there were so many interesting things being discussed by the author and presented, I should say, not so much discussed. And one thing that jumped out at me is the first thing I thought about was how over the years society has changed and the perspective of what is masculine and feminine has changed, and and what's expected in terms of masculinity and femininity has changed. And but one thing I thought was a very simple that stirred my thinking. Imam stated once, may Allah forgive and give him paradise. He said, the male expresses himself externally, and the mother, the woman, expresses herself from an internal perspective. And when I looked at that in its natural picture, in terms of how the male is designed and how the woman is designed, I understood more about the differences in terms of how the natural, as Michael alluded to and said, spoke on, how nature itself dictates how we are moving and evolving in society. You know, when I was listening to the list of things that were being given as to how the man processes information analytically and the woman is emotional, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, you know, as it was being read, I was thinking influenced by that there's a natural tendency for males and females to come from a different perspective because of their different roles in society. Now, so we know that there are women who are very analytical, more so than men, especially as I look in today's society at how mothers and sisters have evolved to become so educated and so analytical, et cetera, et cetera. So that doesn't stand up. That doesn't stand up. And the necessity of taking on roles of the man for being single family parents, et cetera, has influenced that tremendously as well. So I do want to just say, but let's just look at the big picture and use that as an example of how misuse or misunderstanding of the roles of man and woman has brought about in the society. We have a, you know, they say America is a experimental lab of given freedom. How much freedom can an individual manage? And so it's an experiment going on in this world, really, Western society especially, is how much freedom can individuals manage. So I won't mention, well, I guess I will. I will mention the femininity, the feminizing of the male, and the masculinity inclinations of the female. So as an example of how roles can be not altogether wholesome. And just one other point I would like to make. You know, I used to watch how racial behavior was practiced in this country, and I'd watched it over years, by the way, and we lived in it, so we really had a good opportunity to look very closely at it. And I used to think that the white men were the perpetrators of the violence and et cetera, against us as African Americans. But when we look at history, and we could just take Emmett Till's case, and we could go on and on, really. Even here in Florida, there have been many cases where women have inspired the men to lynch and murder and kill without any logic, really. So men responding to what they think is going to be masculine, and really their nature to protect and maintain the woman, So I'm putting that on the, I'm not going to bear the responsibility for all of the miss the behavior of males. But I do want to point out that mothers, women, are the first nurturer of the male. And how does, and that's, and I'm presenting that as a question, how does that responsibility or lack that or neglect thereof create problems for the society in terms of identifying masculinity and femininity?
Okay. That is a question on the table. And we welcome your thoughts on that. Anyone who would like to share their opinion. And I would like to say it has a profound effect. It has a profound effect if the mother being the first teacher of the child. And Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, plant no seed until the soil is fertile. When seeds are planted and the soil is not in the right condition, the woman is not balanced in the right way, nurtured in the right way, culturized in the right way, all of these things have an effect on that child that's being born beginning in the womb. Okay, so it's a catch-22 in so many ways when we just become so unbalanced in society that we are entering into relationships many times without commitment, many times without being taught, without the right understanding, proper understanding of our nature, or proper understanding of parenting. And knowing what you do is going to affect this child the rest of the of their life. All these things sometimes people avoid. There's a void in this crucial, critical information bringing a child into the world. And it's, oh, they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You know, life will teach you. Instead of being prepared and doing it the right way. So this is another reason why we're here. Getting off on the good foot, starting out on the good foot, you know, with the proper foundation, with the proper understanding of relationships, the proper understanding of your own nature, proper understanding of what Allah wants for us, proper understanding on how to build something good and positive, and how our actions will impact that child. All these things are so foundational, you know. And at one point, were practiced, and the models were created, and you were physically seeing how to do it when two parents were together and working together well in a happy home, and setting a good example. Now, everybody didn't have a happy home because we're not in paradise yet, you know. But for the most part, you know, we were socialized in a way much better than we are socialized now. So that had a huge impact, and the sense of purpose was there, clear as well, you know, especially during Reconstruction where we were working toward becoming established and being free people. So all these things really, really have an impact. You know, so it is a catch-22, and women have a very big responsibility when it comes to teaching children. But men also have a very big responsibility to creating those circumstances so that the woman can be in her nature and be free to be the woman and encouraged to do it the right way. It's a partnership. So we have to work together with that. What are your thoughts, Bina?
Yeah, that's true. We do have to work together. And we have to do for ourselves because no one's coming to help us in this situation. I mean, we have Allah. We have our how do we say we have the things that we need to work with, But in terms of looking for anything outside of what we have with our model and our Quran, it's really up to us. And like my daughter had mentioned to me, she said, well, you know, Mom, we're only like 158, 160 years out of slavery. So we're going through a lot of things when we haven't had the opportunity to heal, the opportunity to really take the time to evaluate the things that have gone on to us. We're just pretty much reacting to all the things that are constantly being put in front of us. So we're taking the time now to analyze these situations and see what it is that's going on, where we might be falling short, and where we could use some picking up, where we can, and definitely when it comes to our relationships, that we, it's not an emotional thing. It's not just something that we can do like it was, you know, before. Like, oh, when I came up, oh gosh, it was not really a big thing to just get married at 18, 17. I mean, and women were having babies as young as 16 and raising their children. So it's just, it seems like with the sophistication of knowledge, and like it says in the Quran, the more wisdom that comes in, the more astray people went with the knowledge. But being able to analyze these situations and talk about them and put them in a package where they can be taught to our children so that they know these things when they're growing up is going to bring about a different people, and people who are closer to the religion, closer to what Allah has said should be. You know, when we educate our children in our schools, when we teach them, when we work together that way, and do it because this is the way every other people are doing, raising their own, teaching their own, trusting in their own, working with their own, and working together. As we begin to do that more, we'll be that, we will get that healing, I think, whether we ever get a chance to go to a psychiatrist or a counselor or whatever, the best counseling is in believing in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, and moving in that direction and teaching our children this is going to get us to that place. Because really, 158, 160 years out of slavery, that's what, I mean, I just read today where the oldest woman is 114.
Mm.
I mean, that's one lifetime right there. So what are we talking about?
Right.
Like two? And if we talk about in generations, that's just three, if three generations. When you think about a lifetime being maybe 50 years, a lifespan, that's only three generations. As we keep going in this direction and getting in a situation and getting it down into words where we're thinking about what we're doing as opposed to just doing things without thought, we will get there, and we'll get there easier, inshallah. But it's a process. It takes time. It's taking time. And for us to be where we are now, that's a lost lesson.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Okay. I'm going to hold off on my PSA for a few moments because I have another caller in the queue that wants to chime in on this. So we're going to go to 334-419. Okay, welcome back to the show. Go right ahead with your comment.
Thank you. And this is a recall, and I try not to do that. But I,
you're welcome.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I should make a Michael Hameen. My mind is racing because I'm so tip about being brief, because I find the more brief, the more better the communication. And I'd like to introduce, because of my interest in the Quran and God teaching us about our human psychology, there's a book by Leila Bakhtiar entitled Quranic Psychology of the Self, a textbook of Islamic moral psychology, and in parentheses is Ilm al-Nafs, that is the science of the soul or the person. And I Googled, you know, Muslim psychology, because I was told that Muslims had a clinical method of dealing with mental and emotional health. I don't have the time period, but they utilize music and they utilize water, and focusing on an environment that would be peaceful and nourishing for those that were suffering from depression, emotional and psychological issues. And so I bring that to mind, that there have been many Muslim psychologists working on issues of trauma and the like, and that they utilize the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad connected with the Quranic message. And they utilize, again, the focus on Mother Nature and how nature operates and what goes against nature. So I think that, you know, as sister, is it Baina? Baina?
Baina.
Baina, excuse me. As she has stated, and she mentioned her daughter, we are very new in terms of meeting a number of social challenges in government, in governing ourselves, the economics and the like. And we need to look back in terms of how our ancestors used what they had to deal with a hostile environment. You know, family life for African Americans has been tested like no other people on the planet because of the nature of emptying out people with the strategy of chattel slavery. So these things are not in terms of excuses, but we also have to be aware that there are people primarily Caucasian, those who are social leaders and the like, or who are interested in going up the social ladder. They are curating our past, you know, to suggest that it was them and not God that helped us in our situation. And I always like to look at the parallel between the Hebrew boys and girls and our people, African Americans. You know, they were considered the ones to be, the men killed and the women preserved for whatever the leadership wanted to do in terms of directing them, because they are the cultural, they're the first cultural leaders in terms of the family structure and what is identified as the wombs that bore us, or as Imam Muhammad says, those females entrusted with the ties of relationship. And so there are a lot of issues seeking to cloud the focus, but we've got the gift of the Quran and Prophet Muhammad's example to help us see more clearly, and I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your comments. Okay, we are going, I have another caller, but I have to get my PSAs in. So, caller, please stay with us and stay in the queue, and we'll be right with you as soon as we come back from these public service announcements. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage with your host, Manira Habil Uma, and host, Sister Baina Muhammad Bia. Okay, we'll be right back with you after these public service announcements.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrita Hadi, Director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, and we are back. And if you're just tuning in, you're joining us on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And myself, Sister Munira Habil, and Sister Bina Muhammad Bia are here presenting from the book entitled A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning How to Love and Be Loved. Okay. And we have a caller in the queue that would like to comment on what we've been talking about tonight so far. So we're going to go to our caller at 636-980. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. And I so appreciate this broadcast every week. Praise be to Allah about courtship and marriage. You know,
alhamdulillah.
In order to make the correction, we must go back to the beginning. To the beginning. When Allah told the angels that he was making a khalifa in the earth. And we have to understand that Khalifa does not have a gender. Khalifa is not just male. Khalifa does not have a gender. A protector and a custodian and a maintainer of the creation. And we know Iblis had a problem with that. Iblis felt that he should be appointed the maintainer and the protector of all that was created. Now, Allah said, I am creating a khalifa in the earth that has that is neither male nor female. It is a combination of both. And Imam Muhammad gave an excellent lecture on the need for reform. And in that address, he said, we must reform everything that we have been given. For we're not here alone. The Satan was placed on the earth with us. And it is Satan, it is his ploy to make the human being incapable of being the Khalifa, the maintainer of the creation. So when we hear these things like, well, yeah, men are just rational. They are just rational beings. And women are emotional. You know, Allah says to the Prophet Muhammad, tell them that you are a Basharun Mithlikum. That second word, Mithlikum, identifies with sensitivity, that you are a sensitive creature like them. You have emotions like everyone else. Like everyone else. So the soul, praise be to Allah, it starts off with the principle of female. Of female. It starts off with that nature. But it does not remain there. Allah gives the soul its mate. Its mate. So both attributes, what we call masculinity and what we call feminine, are necessary ingredients to reach the destiny that Allah has created us for, and that is to be the maintainer and the custodian of the earth. So these are people that come up with artificial rules for us. Artificial. Mm-hmm. Say, well, the man is this and the female is that. They are too necessary. Every male has feminine qualities. Now, I'm not talking about biology. Every male has feminine attributes. Every female has masculine attributes. And it's not Allah has made these attributes more, the male attribute is more pronounced, praise be to Allah. Is more pronounced in the male, but he must have the quality of feminine attributes. A female has masculine and female principles and qualities within her, but the feminine attribute is more pronounced. It is there. It is there. So those that come up with some of the concrete, emphatic statement, like the male is unfeeling, the male is unfeeling, the female is more into her feelings. Well, we have to look at that, investigate that, and see, is that designed to separate both partners from each other? Or will they work in tandem with each other? Let me say this right quick. I don't want to be long. To give you an idea of what has happened, even in the Islamic religion, Imam Muhammad stated, he shared with us that hadith, that when one sees a wrong, he should change it with his hand or speak out against it or feel bad about it in his heart. Imam Muhammad said, now wait a minute. You have to first hate it in your heart. You have to dislike it in your heart before you will take action with your hand and your mouth. See how it has been reversed uh-huh. to separate us from the natural nature that Allah has created us for, to separate us from our original nature. That's the ploy. So that Prophet Muhammad, there will never be another human being created that will exceed him in his humanity. He was a sensitive creature, very intelligent, but he was also sensitive. Upon the other, when his son died, he cried. When Khadija, when she passed, he felt great remorse, so much so that years later, that remorse could be identified in him, that sensitive mm-hmm. nature. That emotional sensitive nature. So I'm grateful that we're having this conversation here so that we must reform everything that they have given us to function as human beings. We have to and weigh that against what Allah has revealed.
Alhamdulillah. Now let's pull the big root. Let's yes, alhamdulillah. I have all three of your mics open, all three brothers who are, your mics are still open on purpose. And I want to deal with that biggest root that's in the ground that needs to be pulled out, and that really drives a wedge between men and women and confuses men on the true spirit and nature of the woman. And that is that concept of Adam and Eve, that Eve caused Adam to slip from the garden. And that is a powerful misconception that has come through our religious teachings for years, and is still being taught, you know, and it is the mistrust that is placed for the woman, you know, in the man's mind. And it can be subliminal, and it can be, you know, overt. And it's the woman, you're not going to make me slip. You won't be my downfall. You know, this thinking has been permeated through our society for years and years and years and years. You know, even the priests won't marry a woman, you know. You know, societies that have almost considered themselves and worked toward their own extinction when they buried girl babies alive, hated to see that it was a daughter that they got, that they were having, just buried a baby alive in the sand. You know, this mistrust of women, or this thinking that women will destroy or be the downfall of mankind in some way, is really a very huge misconception. So if you could speak to how Allah corrects this misconception for us in the Holy Quran.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I agree with you 100% that misinterpretation of scripture, focusing on the inequality
of male and female, that is corrected in the Quran. You know, that the way that Allah describes the creation of male, men and women coming from one soul, the way that Almighty God describes that our humanity is the same, that our functions are different, but our humanity is the same. We are one human type, and that the woman, God says, the male and the female thinkers in the Quran, that women, when permitted, when the environment is given to them to learn, they can learn just as well as men, and exceed them, exceed men. So it's the oppressive language, and you know, you've hit the source right on the head. Oppressive language, how religion has been used to control the human family, religion, psychology, utilizing spiritual language has been used for thousands of years to dominate not just women, but to dominate everyday men and women.
Uh-huh. You know, I would like to just comment, as I started to read the Quran and study the Quran and study Arabic, I developed this habit of from right to left, not left to right. So always looking at things from the other side, you know. Maybe that's natural too, because, you know, the imam, he told us, he said, men have to take off their clothes when they go to Hajj, because they messed up the world. Women haven't. Women don't take off, change their garments and put their baby clothes or the ifran. But you know, we are pairs. We are two parts of the same picture. Like you mentioned, one soul created from one soul. That's them here, created from one soul. And so whenever I see these kind of questions, I try to have a perspective, you know, because the shaitan, he uses both individuals. He pits, and he promised Allah that he would come at them from their right, from their left, from before and from behind. So he's not concerned with gender,
no.
Wealth. Anything. His only purpose is to prove the human being not worthy. So I think we have to look at the big picture all the time. You know, mm-hmm. what is being done. That biblical story was there, but the Quran came to correct that. And with powerful language, that's them all here, one soul. And from them scattered countless men and women. So, you know, I think that big picture is going to serve us better, that when we look at that both sides and give responsibility to both sides, that each person has to stand up, female, male. And, you know, and this idea of this masculinity, I like that. I like being masculine. You know, I like that God has made me a man. You know, I don't have no problem with that. So, alhamdulillah. And, you know, but I do want to mention, but we need more men to stand up. And maybe that will create a better environment for our women and daughters to see us successful, you know. But this idea of the
the engineering of the human being, the human family, by killing the males and letting the women live. But now, when we look at what has happened, we have women like Bonnie Willis, huh? In Georgia, she decided she's gonna persecute all of them. bringing in that RICO case against the conspirators of the election. So that shows you there Allah has a plan. They plan, and Allah has already planned. So, you know, yes. we see things in reality. We are not diminished by anything. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. And I'd like to point out to the radio.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Yes, we are hearing language now. Toxic masculinity.
Uh-huh.
We're hearing language. They are using masculine and feminine. And they are creating opposition to both traits. Let me say this. I'm grateful that a female was able to exercise what Allah placed within her, that masculine nature. Due to social engineering, removing the male from out of the household, the female had to reach down inside of herself and bring forward what Allah had placed there, that protector, that maintainer, that masculine nature, especially among the African-American women. So both traits are valuable. If we can remove the physical picture, biology, if we can remove that and truly identify what Allah has placed within us, Allah created the soul before he gave us our biological form, our biological mm-hmm. body. See? So when we are using these traits, especially us Muslims, praise be to Almighty God, we're grateful for the Quran and our beloved Prophet Muhammad, and have an excellent teacher in Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, so that we do not physicalize everything, so that we don't mm-hmm. physicalize everything. The masculinity, I'm grateful to be a masculine also, but I thank Almighty God for placing some feminine traits within me. I nurtured my wife. I had feelings for her. I was sensitive. I had emotional that I exercised in that union. And I'm grateful for her exercising the masculine trait that Allah placed within her, that thinking. Dakarina, Dakarati, the thinking woman and the thinking man, the thinking man and the thinking woman. So if we can just rewrite the rules according to what Allah has revealed, and pass mm-hmm. it on to not just Muslims, to all of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Being we
yes.
qualify for the role that Allah created us for, to worship him,
yes.
but in the meantime, to manage the creation itself, the Khalifa.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
I'll stop right there, my sister. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. I do have another caller in the queue, and we're going to go to that caller. But right before we go to that caller, one of the things I did want to point out is that for those of you in the radio audience that may listen to the show that don't have access to the Holy Quran, haven't read it, the Holy Quran also states that Satan made them slip. They both slipped, Adam and Eve. They were both seduced. It wasn't because of the woman that they got out of the garden, but they were both seduced out of the garden in which they were in. So that takes the blame off of one party, okay? And, you know, lets us know that we also have to back each other up. You know, when suggestions comes to one party, whether it comes to the male or the female, they have to back each other up with what is right and not be subdued and seduced away from right conduct. So we're going to go to our next caller. We have two callers in the queue. 910-527, thank you for your patience. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show. Are you on mute?
I am. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning.
Wa alaikum assalam. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I wanted to weigh in on this topic. Allah saw the problem of the woman, the male and the female, the Muslim, I mean, not the Muslim, but of the man and the woman. And I'm going to tell you a short story I heard back in during the time of our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the women approached the Prophet, and they were concerned because they said the Quran didn't address the women. If you, just in the English, if you put man in the Quran, it occurs 390-something times. If you put woman, 96 times. So they were concerned about that. And so after they approached the Prophet, he came back and Allah revealed this particular ayat to him to address that problem. In this Surah Al-Ahzab, the 35th ayah, and Allah says in this ayah, for Muslim men and women, for believing men and women, for devout men and women, for true men and women, for men and women who are patient and constant, for men and women who humble themselves, for men and women who give in charity, for men and women who fast and deny themselves, for men and women who guard their chastity, and for men and women who engage much in Allah's praise, for them Allah prepares forgiveness and a great reward. So that ayah was revealed to the Prophet after the sisters approached him with a concern. And I'm sure if you understand it, that problem was solved. Now, unfortunately, because we've gotten away from the Quran, even in the Muslim world, it's very male-dominated, male-oriented. But historically speaking, during the times, even in Europe, when the society was not tamed, when it was lions and tigers and bears in the society, and men have been given the physical prowess to solve that, to tame that, to operate in that, and the women weren't. The women stayed at home. Right, but today the lions and tigers and bears have been tamed. The problem in society, the hardships in society are gone, and now the women who have the same makeup in that regard as the men now are finding themselves able to stretch out and develop themselves and discover that the nature that Allah gave in them. Right, it's just that the men, and I'm gonna use the toxic masculinity. Those they don't want to give up the reign. You understand? They don't want to give up that because they've been raised with the idea that women are weak, the women can't think, the women have are emotional, not rational, and all those things. But today, that has proven false. I remember Muhammad giving a speech and was talking about muscles and how the men had muscles. And he said, be careful, brother, because pretty soon the women are going to have as much muscle as you got. And the one is better. So that's where we are right now. We're in a society, for whatever reason, women are now able to express themselves. They're able to go into boardrooms in America and operate corporations. They're able to do all those things because Allah put that nature in them. Allah put that in them. So the problem is solved.
What chapter was that?
Hold on a second. That's Surah Al-Azab. That's the 33rd surah, the 35th ayah. Al-Azab. I think it means the Confederate.
Thank you.
The
yes.
Confederate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Thank you.
So that has been solved. And the world is just waiting on us as Muslims. Allah gives us in the Quran to help solve that problem. And we can do it today. Today would be a perfect time for us to start stepping up and solving that problem. As-salamu
alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. We have another caller. We have two more callers. Okay, we're going to go to 727-408. As-salamu alaykum to you, and welcome to the show.
Alaykum as-salam. Martha Naila Abdullah here, calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And thank you for having this show, the presentation. Education, praise be to Almighty God. because I'm concurring with all that has been said, I won't repeat, but I will confirm or for myself in studying how, and thankfully, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks on the creation of even the Adam and the oneness of the soul, and how the attributes of the Adam, the attributes are all harmonious with the both of the now the physical entities of male and female, but that oneness of the attribute with the hearing and the sight and the feeling and the thinking before it became even physical, the internal ability is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the human being. So I'm just wanting to really truly emphasize that when we even think of Adam, that the Adam is the total consciousness of the human being before its physical separation or individual capabilities in the physical form. So if we can see the Adam, I had to work myself with that, that the Adam and the Hawa, even if we're looking at that, is that which how Shaitan was able to, is able to go into our unconscious self and conscious self. So is that our power of the Adam, of the thinker? It very well could be. But it is capable, it is possible to reach the thinking before it becomes a conscious reality in our forward thinking. I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. And we have one more caller. We're going to go to our next caller at 773-449. As-salamu alaykum to you, and welcome to the show.
Sister Amira here. I'm sorry I got on a little late, but I know you were speaking in terms of marriage. And I want to ask a question to divorce. What is the proper way for a divorce to be handled if you married, not by the United States court, but by the sooner marriage? What is the proper way that should be done? And also I want to know, is there a way to review this session for your program? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. It'll be in the archive within 15 minutes after the show ends, and you should be able to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. Inshallah, I will send you the link so you can just click the link and listen to the whole show.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. To answer your question, the divorce should happen in the most compassionate, merciful way possible. It is something that is undesirable. It's a destruction rather than a construction of a relationship. So should be done with the most mercy and compassion possible. And there should be accountability to what was promised and to what the obligations were in the contract. Contracts should be fulfilled. Allah says that we fulfill our contracts, and this is why we enter into relationships and into marriages with contracts. So it's very important for contracts to be fulfilled with mercy and compassion and continuing to uplift each other in the best way. And because it's really a very sensitive time, it's a very difficult time, for two people. And we have to keep that in mind. And even in divorce, we seek to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But contracts should be fulfilled for sure. And it's done. The marriage is public. And so, unfortunately, the divorce will be as well. So that people can move on, but our contract should be fulfilled.
Well, what if one person decides that they're going to write the contract without the other person's signature being on it, and it's not made public? How could that, does it make that divorce legal if say, for instance, the wife didn't have any input into it, and the husband says, I've written up this contract, I've got two witnesses, and now we divorce? How valid is that? She don't have no input into that.
Mm-hmm. You have to check your contract for the marriage and see what it states. Contract should have language in there that both parties do everything they can to keep the marriage, and then in the event that that is not happening, there should be parties from each side. You should seek Islamic counsel to do everything you can to try to maintain the marriage. And after you've done all you can working together, then if you proceed with divorce, it's done in that way together. Just like Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, the one party from each side come together. So we came together with two people, we end the same way, inshallah. Okay? So I just wanted to answer your question.
Yes, sir.
A marriage, praise be to Allah, is more expansive than the two individuals that marry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is a joining of both families, and they are to consult with the wise members of each family. Allah says, if the desire is to reconcile, then they should reconcile. But if there is still a demand for separation, then they should separate, I would say, in good spirits,
not without animosity.
Yes, ma'am, not with animosity. The idea is to bring about peace. We do not want a man or woman to be in an intolerable circumstance or situation, and they are just to suffer there. That is not what Allah wants for us. Now, and let me say this also concerning her a dowry. The man is not to demand the dowry back except under cases of unfaithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Then he can ask for his dowry back.
What is the responsibility of the male after the marriage to the sister?
Well, he is to provide her with a year's maintenance so that she's not just left hanging in the air.
Is that even considered that she's not carrying a child, don't have a child? If it's just her, herself, he's still committed?
Well, there is a period called EDAT before they move forward on the divorce. And I believe it's a 3-month period to make sure that she is not with child. And if the decision is still made for the divorce, after consulting with responsible parties from both families, then she or he should be given their freedom. Allah does not want oppression for us.
Ma'am, just one thing that I want to just correct in the sense. The year's maintenance is for widows, and when the husband dies, he should leave that provision in the for the wife that she could remain in the home, et cetera, be cared for until she either married or found means. But certainly you're correct in terms of obligation on the husband to first off fulfill the contract and then also make sure that the woman is not left neglected, so make sure that she's cared for, et cetera, et cetera. That was his original responsibility, and it remained that until that situation been able to subside. That's one of the reasons for the waiting period. It should be a waiting period, as you mentioned, for three months, I think it is, before the divorce is declared, and they should be in the same house. They should be, she should still be in the home. And also, they have to not be intimate with each other for that period of time. And then the process moves forward after that. But there, the other thing I wanted to make mention, there is no contract for divorce. I heard of the Samira mention of some witnesses, et cetera, but it does need to be witnessed. It needs to be known that this couple is divorced, just like it was for marriage. But there's no contract for that. That's just a declaration and a position that's been taken, et cetera, et cetera. But whatever the agreements of the original contract were, that should be honored. Inshallah. Shukra.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. If I may, there are issues, you know, in terms of human weakness that we see throughout the Muslim community, you know, ugly behavior between men and women, and particularly because of the influence of this idea of Eve being inferior and so forth, that has gotten into the Islamic world. And women, in many places, you know, you have the disfiguring of the sexual parts in among Muslims in Africa, and the honor killings in Asia, women being killed because the family felt that she dishonored the family. And you know, we have this kind of ugliness behavior that is known of. And the Quran, the following of the Quran and Prophet Muhammad's example, prayers and peace be upon him, is the answer to that. And better education better understanding of the life of the human being. And I'll stop there.
Okay, alhamdulillah. We thank you all so much for your input. I'm sure it was very helpful to our sister.
And let me just say one other thing, too, sister. I want to be very clear with what, verifying what Kareem said. There should be no loss to anyone in these transactions. There should be no, of course, the emotional trauma or the emotional disappointment will be there, but all of the invested things of ownership and material, et cetera, et cetera. There's no one should lose in this separation. There should be no loss to anyone. So I just wanted to mention that. And this is an obligation on the believers to make sure that there's no loss like that. You know, I remember there was a story where the prophet, he said, best of the appointment was. It was with one, I think it was Zaid, I believe, and it might have been Zaid, but he had given the wife a garden, and she just didn't like him. She just didn't like him. And she came to the prophet and wanted to divorce. And the prophet said, well, give him back his dowry and divorce. He gave her that right. But she had to give back what he had given her, because of that she didn't. He wasn't a sinner. He wasn't a bad person. He just didn't like it. You know. So these things have to be equitable, and everyone has to not lose in the transaction. That just wanted to say that. Thank you,
Sister Manira. Can I make a very small statement here?
Yes.
And this is current.
Go right ahead.
This is something that we must know. A lot of times in our mind, we visualize the wrongdoing of males. But at this time, there are women that marry Muslim men, receive their dowry, and then divorce them and keep the dowry. That is what is going on among some Muslim sisters. I'll stop right there, my sister. Thank you.
Yes, yes. And that's what Imam DeLacy was stating, that there should be no loss. And that is fraudulent, and that is not allowed either. You know, so this is why we have the contracts. And divorcing someone for no good reason, you know, there should be some return of the dowry. There should just be no loss or circumstances for fraud to take place. So the life has to be secured, and we talk about this a lot on the show. We have to secure the life and do what's right and do right by each other. Okay? So
I promise.
Can I
say something?
Go right ahead.
It got to the point where I refused to marry a brother and a sister Islamically, especially if they didn't know each other, whatever. And I would give the advice, especially if there were children involved, I'd say, sister, go downtown to the courthouse and get you a marriage license and marry him. Because I can see he was gaming, and the sister would have no recourse. What are we going to do Islamically? We can't uphold any contract Islamically like that, especially when people have gone through some kind of session or group to understand what marriage Islamically means. I tell her, go down, you know, get your license, I'll marry you. That way, if he leave and he flip out, she has recourse. There's no recourse. So it's hard to answer the sister's question if we don't know all the things that transpired. We don't know what kind of class they went to in those things. And for him to do something and say she don't have to sign it, that sounds bogus to me. Absolutely. Take it to the man, and the man will do it.
Yeah. Okay. So I hope that this has been beneficial for you.
Let me just say this too. This is an excellent example of Shura, how it should work and how these things should be. And I'm glad, Sister Mary, you had the opportunity to ask questions of some of your senior brothers on this program, and you had the courage to bring the question forward also. But I want to say this, because we were talking about male and female relations, and you know, when you have seniors like ourselves, myself, Bayard, Ma'am Bayard, Ma'am Perrine, Ma'am Michael, whether you were going to call you ma'am or not, and you could get that kind of information, you should take advantage of that and respect that. This is another issue that we have that's in our community, and it probably contributes to a lot of broken relations. The men who are actually capable men, they are not respected. They are not respected by their children. They're not respected by their women, and this needs to change. So just wanted to make that position very clear. When you have this type of audience, this type of opportunity to consult with people who have knowledge or some experience, and even if not, just the fact of age itself creates a lot of experience, and you need to take advantage of that. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, 347-751. I don't know when we'll cut off, but your mic is open. Go right ahead with your comment. You're on mute. Take yourself off mute. 347-751, are you there?
Yes, now. Thank you. I'm off of mute. Yes, I. Uh-huh. That's why. This is Sister Mahasan. I had decided to keep pushing the one because I wasn't sure if you saw my number there. I wanted to weigh in. So thank you, even though it's near the end of the program, for bringing me on. One of the things that is very, very critical is that there be classes established where people have an opportunity to be taught or to learn the laws of marriage and divorce, as Allah has made them clear in the Quran. in any community, there are several experiences that community may go through in pursuing marriage, getting courtship started adequately and honestly, and pursuing the marriage, or ended up in a situation where they have to pronounce or agree to divorce. Right? But one thing you'll find is that in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah is very clear. There's someone who needs to mute their mic. A lot of noise. They're very clear about the stipulations for marriage and for divorce. And one verse, one ayat that is seldom mentioned that would clarify probably a lot of concern should the marriage they'll be seeking to dissolve the marriage, is Ayat 241. And Allah says, for divorced women, a one-time provision should be paid. On a reasonable scale. This is a duty on the righteous. So this is an ayat that is speaking not only to the husband and wife who are seeking a divorce, but to the wali or family who has been consulted, because we not only marry as a couple, but actually it's uniting family in a community life relationship, and we have to provide and care for the most vulnerable. So I thought it was exceptionally merciful for Allah to state that reveal that to the prophet that for divorced women, a one-time provision should be paid on a reasonable scale. And that reasonable scale can be threshed out in detail as to what will happen if suddenly she is without the care, maintenance, provisions, and protection of the husband, which Allah has made clear is the role of the man in the community life, in the marriage life. He has that responsibility, and we don't want to create a vulnerable situation that would harm the woman, especially in her role in the family life, and threaten the stability of the community. So thank you. Thank you, Sister Munira, for allowing me that time. Mm-hmm.
Okay, alhamdulillah. All right, it's 9:10. We've gone over 10 minutes. Our program can end at any moment. But I thank all of you who participated in tonight's show and the advice that you've given and the wisdom that you shared. And I'd like to ask Bina, do you have any comments that you'd like to make?
There's a lot I'd like to say, but like you say, the show is about to end. So I know it's a subject that we could probably get into in the future. And inshallah, there's a lot to be said about it.
Yes, alhamdulillah. We'll make your notes, Bina, so we can have those notes for us when we have time and you have time to present them. So, alhamdulillah. All right. We shared a lot. We've learned a lot on tonight's program. And this program will be in the archives, and we can share this program with other people. It's very useful information. And sometimes we take the road where it leads. So I pray that this information was very beneficial for you, Sister Amira. And we thank you for calling in. So, inshallah, we'll be back next week, and we're going to continue with this book, A Man's Journey on Manhood, written by a man for men. And we will, of course, view this book through our Islamic lenses and see how we can write a new set of rules for men that will help us return to our correct original nature. So don't forget to listen to this show tomorrow morning.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we will always take the time, if we can, to answer your questions when you call in, because this is the platform for these questions. And inshallah, we'll see you back here next week. Probably you won't be able to chime back in and give you the greetings, but we pray that you return next week as we continue on this discovery. And it's all about courtship and marriage. Until then, we leave you with the greetings of peace of Assalamu alaikum.
What made him brave enough to go out and face the world? A country man he came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down here, loved him deep, made him love enough to go out and face the world. creature of fear, performing drug
tears.
Love in thee made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Go out and face the world.
Sweet talk deceived him. Her brought him to thee. Never count him out. Faith went over down. Poor lost sinners. Poor squires are winning. Fearing thee. So I made him brave enough to go.
Loving thee.
Loving thee. Made him brave enough to go.
Fearing thee.
What made him brave enough to go out and face the world?
Brave enough to face the
world. A countryman dear came up from the rear.
Loving
thee. Made his home for the sweet bird down here.
Fearing thee.
Never caught him up. Things went over down. Firmly named him. Making a life for thee. Oh, 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 yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
A countryman dear came up from the rear.
Loving
thee. Made his home on the sweet earth down here.
Fearing
thee. Never counted him out. First friends of a doubt. Poor lost sinner. Poor square. What made him love enough to go out and face the world?
Until next week, assalamu alaikum to you. May Allah bless us all with a peaceful, productive week. Inshallah, be back here next Tuesday. Bring a friend. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.